Welcome to Three Steps Forward, a podcast designed to help us grow as Jews, just a few steps at a time. In each episode, we will meet one interesting and thoughtful person with one or two pieces of useful advice to give. Our goal is to be both spiritually ambitious and humble. We really believe that we can accomplish great things if we take it just a few steps at a time. I have the absolute pleasure of being joined by Rabbi Jeffrey Sachs, the editor of the Tradition Journal, a wonderful journal that has had a lot of impact on my own personal life. He is also the director of Atid, the parent organization of the Web Yeshiva. He's a rabbi in Efrat. He's a translator of several Shai Agnon novels, really a renaissance man in a Jewish spiritual life. First of all, Rabbi Sachs, thank you so much for joining us. It's so nice of you. This is so lovely. If you could just tell us, we are working on ourselves as Jews. We are trying to go forward in our Judaism one step at a time, or three steps forward, if you like. Could you share with us just one tip in the service of God and Avodat Hashem?
Oh, my goodness. It's like really asking it al regal achat to boil it down, because there's so many things that we have to work on, and particularly now, you know, it's not an easy time. And we're sitting here, we're meeting up here at the convention of the Rabbinical Council of America, and we've spent the last 3 days talking about these dvarim ha'omdim berumo shel olam, consequential issues that are facing the Jewish people here in the United States, in Israel, and you know, we should talk about all of those things. But let me imagine that we're in more normal times, because in a little soundbite, I don't know that I'd be able to add any wisdom to that. It seems to me that we live in an age where people are very focused on finding meaning and finding spirituality and trying to infuse religious life and practice with all types of things that, I mean, it must obviously indicate that something has been lacking all of these years. And instead of looking at those things cynically, I think it should be an opportunity to look inward and kind of consider, what is this a reaction to, or what is missing that's causing this reaction? But it seems to me that it's important still to communicate the idea that at heart, our religious life is a life of commitment and is a life of obligation. Now, that doesn't sell as well as meaningfulness and hitromamut and uplift, and on quite the contrary.
Yeah.
But we have to balance these two trends and not forget that ours is a life of commitment and obligation. We daven because we have an obligation. We hope that in the fulfillment of that obligation, we'll be uplifted. We, all of us, forget what we should try to teach our children and our students. We, all of us, should try to work on that for ourselves, but we have to communicate that idea. So the idea of being committed, which is, I guess, frankly, the kind of thing you either have it or you don't.
Ooh.
You feel obligated or you don't feel obligated.
You can't be a little obligated?
Well, I suppose not. In other words, you can feel obligated and not take that responsibility seriously. I guess that is a middle position. And I suppose I wouldn't say we all know people like that. We probably all know that trait in ourselves. But, you know, that sense of being obligated, not as something oppressive, but as something uplifting. That too can be uplifting. That asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu, that we are commanded. As I say these words, I think of so many times I've tried to communicate this more effectively, less effectively, to my own children. We should focus on that. What it means that we are mitzuvim, that we are commanded. And somebody who feels commanded, somebody who feels a responsibility, should take that seriously and should want to, not in a rote way, I have this halachic maze I have to run through, an obstacle course I have to check each box, put on tzitzis, put on tefillin, daven, bench, wash, etc. I'm not arguing that we should all be a little OCD in our observance. Although, religious observance sometimes leads to a little bit of anxiety. But anxiety, it seems to me that anxiety, which is so much in the news these days,
sure,
so much in the focus, and there are all these researches, so I'm not arguing for anxiety. But anxiety, which is itself obviously a kind of negative trait, but there are aspects of feeling the need to carry out your duties which serve us well. And we shouldn't negate that. We shouldn't try to paint it all with some kind of negative brush. It's good that people should feel this. Now, a lot of this has to do with like personality types. I think there are people who very naturally are good at keeping their responsibilities straight. These are people that oftentimes are good at their own kind of time management, and mm-hmm. they're good at keeping the trains on the tracks, and life work balance, and all of those things. And those are skills that you can learn or at least improve.
Mm-hmm.
Like for example, I'm very fortunate, as you said. I've 30 years I've been living in Israel. And you know, even though we always complain, we Americans that have gone off to Israel, we complain about the lack of Sundays,
mm-hmm.
right?
Sure.
But we do have Fridays.
Yeah.
We're reminded of Rabbi Soloveitchik's famous quip about, in America, he was saying that even though we now have, he was saying this maybe in the 60s or 70s, even now we have Shomer Shabbos Jews, we don't have Shomer Erev Shabbat Jews.
Sure.
Right? We don't have Jews that, you know, because, and why was that? Because, you know, my goodness, when I come to visit, you know, in the winter, Shabbat starts at 4:15, and people breeze in from work at 3:45, and somehow Shabbat all gets pulled together, and you get in and out of the shower, and you run in late for mincha with your hair still wet, and et cetera. And well, is it surprising that this creates a sense of, if not anxiety, just sheer exhaustion?
Yeah.
So is it surprising that maybe might leave its residue on the experience of Shabbat for you and for your children? So I think that, you know, these are all things that play into how we experience our Avodat Hashem. And maybe it's a reason that we've seen so many trends recently, you know, kind of pushing back at, you know, careful, punctilious ritual and more looking mm-hmm. for meaning. But I'm trying to say that it's not either or. We have to find, you know, some kind of medium. And I don't think that we dare, you know, kind of abandon this message of commitment. So it's not such an uplifting message. Maybe it's an oppressive message, but I think it's central to Avodat Hashem.
Maybe we'll make that the title, an oppressive message from Rabbi Jeffrey Sachs.
We wouldn't call it that, but I think that sense of being committed and obligated and responsible is a great gift. Maybe this says more about my own my own squareness of my personality, but I think it's a gift. It's a great gift that we have been commanded, that we are Bachar Banu Mikol HaAmim, and that we've been given this gift of mitzvot, that we are mitzuvim, and we should endeavor to fulfill our responsibilities. And that itself is uplifting. That itself is uplifting.
So I want to circle back to your point about being committed or not committed versus an in-between, which if I could compare that perhaps to a marriage, right, where that's a good space to say, look, you're either in or you're out, but this is not really one of those gray zones that we are going to tolerate. Is that a good analogy for your meaning? Meaning not so much that it's something you have or are born with or you're not. Do you mean to say that it's you make that mental, emotional commitment or not? Or what's your meaning there?
I understand the metaphor you're making, you know, a marriage either in or out. Except, you know, sadly, we know there are a lot of, you know, marriages that are, if not dead, on life support.
Mm-hmm.
And there are all types of reasons that the couple stays together, but the love that animates the marriage, and even not just the love, the companionship, the friendship, the partnership that animates the marriage, is no longer doing its job. But that idea of what I meant by you either feel obligated or not is, look, we can force children to do lots of things mm-hmm. up until a certain point. A rabbi can cajole his balabatim, but even more effectively, society, all right, a community can you know, not cajole in the old way where somebody would come with a pointy stick and hit you if you didn't show up for minyan, but there are all types of social pressures.
It does sound effective, though.
Oh, well, those were the days. Rabbis had, and rabbis had those pointy sticks. But you know, there was so much talk a number of years ago about this idea of social orthodoxy.
Sure. Right?
But at the end of the day, you can force a kid to come with you to shul. You can schlep along a kid to shul, right? You can, the teenager who sleeps until God knows what ungodly hour on a weekend, you could still kind of stand over them and hover over them and dray them a cup. They have to put on tefillin. Let's get going. You know, sofzman this, sofzman that, right? So you can. You feel obligated? They don't feel obligated. Now they can do it because their father's hakanamachanik. Right? They can do it because that's what you got to do when you're a student in yeshiva day school. Right? But that's what you got to do when you live in a certain community and you want to remain living in that community. And right, there are all types of those types of pressures. But that's not exactly the same as this sensation that I'm describing of mitzuveh. I don't want my children to do something because I, their father, was mitzaveh. I want them to do it because their father in heaven was mitzaveh. Right? Their father in heaven is a lot less annoying than their father in this world. But ultimately, we hope, we aspire that they will gain that sense. But that my point is, mm-hmm. they feel it, they don't.
Sure.
I can force them to daven up until a certain point. But I can't force them to feel that they have felt that obligation.
Yeah.
Right? And ultimately, it's a matter of belief. It's a matter of how they feel it inside. We have to educate toward it. We have to model towards it. We have to create an environment in which it's going to be amenable. But it's either there or it ain't.
Okay. Well, on that, I would say deep. No, there's a lot there. Certainly not all bad. And I think it's a mechayev. That's something that obligates us. Educate, model, do what we have to do. And I want to thank you, Rabbi Sachs.
Thank you,
thank
Rabbi
you so much for your time. It was so kind of you. Thank you. Have a fabulous day. Thank you so much for taking 3 steps forward with me. There is a wide and bright horizon ahead. Please review our podcast, and if you learned something new, share it with a friend. More episodes are on the way.